Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel, which you heard earlier. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and especially Cole, Caitlin, Faye, Jared, and Jennifer. Well, Cole, Caitlin, Faye, Jared, Jennifer, and all here, you who are gathered, did you hear the dire advice given in the Holy Gospel? A very prominent woman gave it, the wife of the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Let's call her Claudia. Claudia's been haunted by a horrible nightmare. The dream has shaken her to the core. She's white as a ghost. Her mascara is smeared. Her hair is all messed up. Her body drips with sweat. Her voice trembles. She can barely manage to get the words out. And from her pale, thin lips come these persistent words. Do you remember what she said to her husband? Have nothing to do with this Jesus. Have nothing to do with this Jesus. Did you hear her? Claudia has adamantly warned you to have nothing to do with Jesus. And she's as serious as a heart attack. And she's not alone. The world wags its finger, gets in your grill, and screams at you 24/7, 365. Be forewarned, the world barks. Stay away from that preacher named Jesus. You'll never reach your potential hanging around a preacher like him. You'll never reach it. So the world says, divorce yourself from this Jesus ASAP. Don't you dare be seen hanging around this Jesus. Otherwise, the world warns, we will target you as a bitter clinger, a freak, a hate monger, a radical homophobe, an enemy of the state, or any other moniker we want to hang around your neck. We will make your life miserable. You've been warned, the world tells you. And so Cole and Caitlin and Faye and Jared and Jennifer, that might be good advice, huh? You might want to take it. After all, did you hear how it was going with our Lord Jesus in the gospel? Well, that just may happen to you too, since you've been hanging around him, learning how to be his disciple. I mean, Jesus sure looks like a big-time loser. His closest friend, Peter, has denied him. Another disciple, one of his close disciples, Iscariot, has betrayed him for cash. And now Jesus has been put under arrest and on trial for false teaching in the church and for sedition and subversion against the state of Rome. It's not going too well for him, is it? In fact, it's going quite poorly and it's going downhill fast. Now, we heard that Pilate offers to let Jesus go. After all, Pilate knows that Jesus is completely innocent. Pilate knows this, but the crowds insist on paroling Barabbas, the notorious, hardened, homegrown terrorist. And the crowds insist on having our Lord's head. Crucify him! Crucify him, they shout. The Palm Sunday praises have totally changed. And if they don't get their way, they threaten to riot. And so the governor caves. He sentences innocent Jesus to the gallows. Death on the cross. And then the soldiers take Jesus into their brutal custody. I don't know if you know this or not, but Roman soldiers are not very nice people. They are vicious. They're very nasty types. They flog Jesus mercilessly. And the talons at the end of the whip rip and shred huge chunks of Jesus' flesh from his shoulders and his back, which leads to a horrific flow of blood. Flogging is so extreme that it usually exposes the internal organs. You want to talk about barbaric and appalling? Well, perhaps then now you're ready to take Claudia's warning seriously. Maybe now you're eager to listen to the world and dump Jesus overboard or throw this Jesus under the bus, huh? especially when the soldiers then strip him of all of his clothes and expose his nakedness. What humiliation. And then the purple robe, the crown of thorns, and the staff, and the mockery. Hail, King of the Jews! That's their ridicule. And they spit in his face. And they take the reed that they put in his hand, and they just bash his head in, time after time after time, mercilessly. Jesus is so physically brutalized and shattered that he can barely walk. And so, as the text says, Simon of Cyrene is recruited. That is to say, he is forced to carry the cross. And at Golgotha, the soldiers pound the spikes through our Lord's hands and feet, agonizingly piercing muscles and bones. And then he is lifted up high, left there suspended to die. So I ask you, do you still want anything to do with this Jesus? Do you really want to be associated with him anymore? I mean, are you ready, kids? I'm talking to you now, kids. Are you ready to take your promises back? You know, that you believed in this Jesus as God and that you'd be faithful to him, confessing his name even to death? Take a hard look. Good grief. There he hangs. Numbered, Jesus is, with the worst of sinners. Terrorist criminals hang on each side of him. And everybody there is mocking him, lampooning him. Oh, he saved others, but he can't do anything for himself. Oh, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. And oh, then we'll believe in you. It doesn't take long, and Jesus dies. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, is dead. And that's when the scoffers leave, no doubt laughing and joking all the way home, saying, oh yeah, you know that Jesus, what a fraud he was, because we all know that sons of God don't suffer and die like that. Since he died, he's got to be a fake. That's enough of the jokes on him. What an idiot he was. Oh, kids, do you remember Claudius' advice? And the world's notice? Remember what they say? Oh, don't have anything to do with this Jesus. Dump him. This Christianity stuff, it's all a joke. You have more important things to do than to worship him on a regular basis on Sundays. So, kids, I ask you, what will it be? Will you have anything to do with this Jesus? Now, I heard your answer at the beginning of the service, and so did the entire congregation, and so did Jesus. And we were all delighted with your answer. It gave us all great joy. You confessed Jesus. You confessed his saving name. And you promised to be one of his, as the kids say, one of his hangers-on. One of his baptized disciples for the rest of your life. That is to say, you kids today said that you will live off our Lord's Good Friday forgiveness and his salvation week after week, month after month, year after year, that gets bestowed to his sinners in his church through the preached gospel and the Lord's Supper. Now, I've been through this confirmation rodeo for over 23 years as a pastor. And I've been stumbling and bumbling around this parenting thing for over 22 years. I have struggled and I have failed. I have sinned grievously. I've got the sinning perfected. I'm no better than any of you. But I think I've learned a little bit from my mistakes. And I don't want you folks here gathered here today to pull a Kuhlman. You pull a Kuhlman and it will all end in disaster. It will all end in a hellacious mess. So today, I want and I need, as your pastor, to have a come to Jesus conversation with all the parents. I said all the parents who are gathered here today. It's time that we have a heart-to-heart with every mom and dad of our congregation. It's time for us at Trinity, Murdoch, to have a serious, but yet at the same time to have a salutary conversation. So, here goes. Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame if Dad and Mom inadvertently or purposely push Claudia and the world aside and take their place? Wouldn't it be a shame if Dad and Mom derail the children from being one of Christ's hangers-on or faithful disciples Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, and year after year. So now, parents, I'm talking to you, all of you, all the parents. Your actions speak louder than your words. Your actions contradict your words. And children can sniff this out. And too often the parents don't pass the sniff test. Now, of course, parents, you would never say it. You would never say it. At least I don't think you would. But your actions and your priorities preach a contradictory sermon to the kids 24/7, 365. And the actions speak volumes. Your actions preach a sermon of which Claudia and the world would be proud. It goes like this. As a family, children, we will have very little or hardly any relationship with this Jesus that you just confessed today. We won't take the time, and we won't make the time. While we strenuously teach you never to break a promise, we will make an exception when it comes to your baptismal and confirmation promises today. We'll make a minimum effort to see that you get baptized and confirmed, but that's it. You know, we're going to draw the line there. Oh, yes, kids, we know that you desire to hear God's word and that you desire to receive the sacrament, but, you know, we really don't see the need for it. We'll always find something else to do. Jesus? He's really not that big of a deal, not a high priority. Good Friday and Lord's Supper, Jesus? Who's he? We don't know the man. Parents, whether you intend to or not, this is the sermon that you communicate to your children by your actions. I know from first-hand experience. That's the kind of sermon that my parents preached to me by their actions when I was growing up. It wasn't until we moved to Glen Rock, Wyoming, that Pastor Bunshu, Roger and Bonnie Schlechty, and Bill and Lenora Fincher loved my parents enough to tell them the truth. Without those folks, who in the world knows where I would be? I mean that. I'm serious about that. Who knows? Would I even be a believer in Jesus anymore? And I say, humanly speaking, probably not. Oh, I would have been confirmed. Oh, yes, Dad and Mom would have done their duty. They would have done what was expected of them as members of the community and the Kuhlman family. But that would have been it. However, the tough and the loving words from Pastor Bunshu, from the Schlechtys and the Finchers, bore much fruit with my parents. And the rest is history, as they say. Here I am, good grief. I'm still a sinner. But I'm a sinner who is one of Christ's hangers-on, living from his forgiveness day by day and Sunday after Sunday, and incredibly and or miraculously, the Lord even has a little bit of good use for me as a pastor with you here at Trinity. And boy, folks, do I pray for that. I really do. I pray that this sermon will bear much fruit for all of you. So again, what's the point of me bringing all this up? It's really quite simple. Like Peter, who denied Jesus and didn't want anything to do with this Good Friday and graveyard dead Jesus, it is time for all of us to repent, to trust in Jesus with his forgiveness for us, his sinners, and for us to do better. That is to say, for us to grow in grace and in holiness of living. I mean, what else is there for a Christian to do? Seriously. You want to do that, don't you? Surely you don't want to stand here before Jesus today and justify your sin. Surely you don't want to offer all kinds of excuses and then go into full-blown denial mode. I hope not. Instead, it's time for all of us to confess our sin honestly, to die to it, and to put our old Adamic selves to death, maybe for the first time in our lives, or maybe you've been struggling with this for a long time, but you were just simply afraid to admit it and confess it. Well, it's time to come out of the shadows, into the light, and own up to the truth. Why? So that all of us together with our children have good use for this Jesus who suffered and died for all of us, his sinners. Yes, that's right. He died for you, for all of you who are gathered here. He took all your sin in his body on the cross, and he answered for it. He who knew no sin became sin, the sinner, on the cross, as he bears all your sin. Jesus, in fact, suffered the damnation that all sinners deserve, and we heard him cry it out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, he sent me to speak and to give you his word so that you are forgiven. I'm under orders to do that, you know, office of the keys, you know, Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and John 20. You know that, don't you? And so here goes. I want you to listen very carefully. If you hear nothing else, this is what I want you to hear and leave with. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So now all is forgiven. And as you believe, so you have. Now you have a proper relationship with God through Jesus. And now you are all proud to bear Christ's name given to you in your baptism. Proud to be his disciples. Proud to be seen with him. Pleased to be families that live on and from our Lord's Good Friday death, including coming to the sacrament on a regular basis because of his command of invitation and his promise that he gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. So what do we do now? We get into Claudia's face. We get in the world's grill. And we tell them to get lost. They are not the Lord. Jesus is. You now audaciously dare to always be seen with that crucified but risen Jesus. Today, year after year, and the rest of your life. You dare today to sit and be seen with him as one of his hangers-on at his supper. You have everything to do with this Jesus because he's the Savior of sinners. And brothers and sisters, what joy that is. So, Cole, Caitlin, Faye, Jared, and Jennifer, happy Confirmation Day to all of you. Happy being the Lord's hangers-on. In the name of Jesus, amen.